American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, March 8th, 2005. And you guessed it, this would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. If you don't happen to believe the core political tyranny is trying to enslave you, well, hang on, buddy, because I got all the information you need to make an informed decision about your future. You can read all the news stories along with me and check some what I'm telling you by going to my live journal, which you can find it. It's called Secret Message right now, or it's under Sean underscore Kennedy on live journal. That's the live journal location. Got all the links there for all the stories. And you can follow along with me playing the home game. You'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, holy crap, I wish I could wake up from this nightmare, which is what my reality is becoming. There's so much crap going on in the world right now. That, you know, it's really, you have to kind of, you know, almost wake up in the morning and take a shot of scotch or something, because it's just like there's a lot of depressing stuff. It doesn't seem like this is ever really going to stop. You know, I imagine, you know, in the 30s in Germany, there were those Germans who sort of saw the Nazi Germany was happening, and people would go, you know, well, you know, there's those who were decrying it, those who knew that what they were doing was evil. And that's kind of the way I kind of feel sometimes when I look at what's going on with some of the things that are happening with the Bush administration and all that. Yet, on the other hand, you know, you want to just be effective. You don't want to just give in to all the huna-huna crystal crowd stuff. You want to make sure that you can promote positive change and not just hold hands and sing kumbaya. You know, that there is the meat, you know, reality of the world, you know, where might really does make right, unfortunately. But it seems to be that way. You know, if you have the muscle, then that's how you promote change. I guess, is this what I should be learning from in my schools? Is this what we should be teaching our children? Is that, in fact, that, you know, there is no such thing as morality unless, you know, you've got the political and financial backing to set it up? I mean, this is what we're teaching them, right? They look at George Bush and see this completely fascist state that's coming into being where they've got the power to enact it. There's no ethical or moral guidelines. You know, is this the reason why so many people need religion in the world? Is so that we can stop ourselves from destroying ourselves for a profit? Is that the whole function of religion? Is that what it's really all about? Because sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder. I'm here to tell you. Got some feedback here. Some feedback from some people on the web wanting to correct me, which is good. Dear Sean, I'm by no means an expert on this. Neither am I. We're none of us are experts. That's why it's grassroots, buddy. But I do want to make a comment about the news story you read yesterday, or on the show that aired yesterday anyhow. You read a news article that stated that none of the U.S. Armed Forces met their enlisted quotas last year. I'd like to inform you this is very much not true, at least with regard to the Air Force. I was given an early honorable discharge from the Air Force in May of 2004. And I'd like you to know that, at least where I was stationed, it was common knowledge that the Air Force was 12,000 people overstaffed. They had met their enlistment quota for the year in January, and were looking to get people out by whatever means necessary. This is the only reason that I'm not still wearing a uniform and sporting a military haircut. Because the reason that I was discharged is something that I would not have been discharged for under normal conditions. This was fine with me because I hated the Air Force and was looking for a way to get out. So I happily accepted their decision to let me go. That was from PeopleTree. Now, the thing is that, so they were trying to get rid of him. And apparently, I guess, during Vietnam, their Navy was brimming, Air Force was brimming, because nobody wanted to be in the Army, because that's where all the damage goes. You know what I mean? Like, they're the people who actually get shot, Mother Green and the killing machine. Infantry, queen of the battlefield. So no one really wants to be in the infantry. Yet, we get these news stories saying that nobody's meeting any quotas, blah, 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 blah. And yet, we hear from some people in the Air Force who say, whoa, 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 we're overstaffed, dude. What are you talking about? Now, who do we believe here? Who do we believe here? Do we believe the news, or do we believe the guy who sent me the email? Personally, I believe the guy who sent me the email because he has no motive. You know what I mean? Like, what's the advantage of PeopleTree lying to me? You know, is he lying to me to get a profit? No. Whereas the guy who wrote the magazine wants to be as sensational as possible so the story is interesting. Now, granted, I choose news stories that I think are useful. Some of them are a little bit more like a statement of our culture and things like that. So it kind of becomes a bit of a judgment call on where you go with this. But what that article stated, the one I read yesterday, said that they hadn't met their quotas and everybody was a minor. And that's why they're bringing in the draft. So they're using this fact that they're not meeting, you know, their quotas. Oh my God, everything's bleak. We need the draft. Well, maybe they are meeting their quotas and they don't need the draft. And this is just a way of bringing in people to, you know, kind of get the nice, you know, political re-education on the go. Well, the more people that are in the military, the more people get brainwashed by the military, and the more, you know, citizens we have in our culture. Which, you know, from a certain standpoint, I did my time in the Army. You know, did it shape and mold me as a human being? Well, you know, yeah, I suppose you could say that. It did kind of shape and mold me to a certain degree. One cannot be in the Army without being shaped and molded by it. Quite often, though, and I bet, you know, hey, all you vets out there and all those guys who've got service in, you let me know if I'm lying to the good, innocent children here. Make sure that I'm not spreading, you know, harmful matter to minors. But it seems to me that after you get out of the Army, you realize a lot of the crap that went on in the Army was just that. It was crap. There was a lot of bullshit and a lot of flag waving and a lot of puffy chested stuff. And that's why when you get the serious operatives like the SAS and all that in England, who don't just go for the bagpipes anymore, they're not there for the uniform anymore, they're not there to, you know, measure dicks or nothing like that, they realize that, you know what, this is a trade, it's a business, and if I can make money, because once a guy leaves the SAS, what's he going to do? Become a mailman? You know, you got to think about these guys. Like, what about these Navy SEALs and these really hardcore motherfuckers down there? You know, it's the guy with the Ranger course and the Pathfinder course and all these courses that enable them to what? Slip into enemy territory, dispatch people, take out sentries. I mean, there's no civilian application for that. There's no place for these people to go. So they get in, they get this amazing skill set, which they think they need, you know, because it's cool. You know, I mean, there's certain, those of us out there, myself included, I like to think of myself as a soldier. And a soldier isn't a career, it's a lifestyle. You know, there's people who are never in the Army who are very, very much soldiers. So I think that if we can figure out, you know, how to keep this mentality, keep that soldier mentality, you know, and cut away the bullshit and the brainwashing and everything else, maybe there might be some solution to that. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, there are whiny people in the world. There are people in the world who just fucking whine. They'll whine about everything no matter what. Maybe I'm one of them. You know, I don't mean to stand back and say, because at some point you have to take a stand. Yeah, I can sit back here and say, well, I'm just reporting the news. None of this is my doing. I'm just reporting what's reported off the web. I didn't write any of this shit. I'm just doing commentary. It's my own personal viewpoint. And a lot of people are sort of confused with me as well. We know that, you know, you have to have, you know, the reality. Metal meets the meat. You know, it's got to get done. The house has got to get painted. You know, you got to get up there and get some work out there. We also know that espionage is important, okay? We need to have spies. We need to know that because there are bad people in the universe. We need to make sure we know what the fuck's going on. We need to have special forces. We need to have an army. These are all, you know, truths that we have seen in history. Okay, like this is just something, and people go, well, you know, I'm anarchy and all that bullshit. I'm not interested in that crap because it doesn't work. If it had worked, it would be working now. You know what I'm saying? Now, in China, they got this communist-run state thing going on over there. Is that freedom? I don't know. Is freedom all it's cracked up to be even? I mean, people are starting to think that. People are starting to trade their liberty for safety, so they think. But, you know, like what I think it was Roosevelt said, that if you trade your liberty for safety, you're going to have neither. You know, liberty for security, one of those two. I'm paraphrasing hugely there. But, I mean, it's all about choice. It's all about free choice and having individuals do what they want to do. And this choice, of course, is influenced by what? It's influenced by your environment. When you're in the Army, your choices are things like, gee, I'd like to get some sleep. That's your major mainstay. When you're in the civilian world, you know, you go after the BMWs and crap like that because you think it's status. You know, you think it'll get you laid. This is where all that goes. So really, are we really as free as we think we are? No, we're only as free as our environment enables us to be. So I'm here to tell you, where are you going with this? You're all over the place with this here, Sean. What are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is the fact that we have to have some sort of a method of coexistence with people with different, totally different political ideals. Now, you'll never get anyone else out there. You'll never get everyone to, you know, be militant. You know, you'll never get everyone into the Robert Heinlein universe. Maybe, you know, Babylon 5 had it right. Maybe we should have, like, some kind of weird caste system thing where, you know, there's your political caste and your military caste. And these people, you know, they coexist. No one's above anybody. You know, and maybe there's some way to sort that out because, you know, I don't really want to look at ants and ant colonies because that's what they say we should do. You know, when you're looking at, like, intensive, you know, biological organisms and how they structure their society, everyone says, look at ants, you know, look at insects, see how their situation is run. But that's very much a hierarchical system. And no one wants to say, you know, you're a drone. All you're ever going to be is a drone. All you ever will be is a drone. But maybe that's the truth. Maybe there's certain people that's all they'll be is just drones their whole lives. But who's the people who choose that? Do they choose that for themselves? Does the society choose that? Is genetics, is it Gattaca? You know, I'm sorry, you just don't have the IQ, you know. At this stage of the game, these are huge, huge and very relevant questions. And up until now, we've had religion to keep us all in line. But now the religion's fallen by the wayside, no matter what the fuck JW does, or George up there, you know, King George II there. If he, you know, he wants to keep religion in there, but it's not going to work because we've got, you know, enough science and information floating around right now that we all know that, you know what? Dead guy on a stick, holy rocks, all that shit. That's pretty, you know, last century there, dude. So we want to kind of move forwards here, despite, you know, this massive FUD that's spreading everywhere. We know that the planet's in big trouble. Everyone's worried about 2012. There's a lot of shit that's coming down the pipe. It's a pretty crazy time to be alive. So I think that the number one way we can start, I don't have the answer, but I know the answer will come from what? It'll come from honesty and it'll come from communication. Honesty, trust, and communication. This is why transparency is vital in government, so we can see what our government is doing. This is why we need to make sure that if a police officer does something, they have to be accountable. Everyone has to look at this and say, okay, why did this occur? And if it's, you know, something that, you know, everyone doesn't like the idea of taking a bunch of drug dealers downtown and beating the snot out of them. This is what happened. Okay, this happened a little while ago in Vancouver where there was a bunch of drug dealers, okay, drug dealers, quote unquote, in Vancouver, who the Vancouver City Police just picked up, drove out to Stanley Park, told them essentially to get out of town, beat them up, and a rookie phoned it in and reported all the cops. All the cops lost their job because they did vigilante justice. But you ask yourself, was what the cops did wrong? Well, it was illegal, blah, 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 it's draconian, you know, why not just have the SS, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but wait a second, hang on now. The guys they grabbed and dragged downtown are not innocent people. These people were hardened criminals. They were pimps. They were exploiting young girls. I mean, these guys were bags of shit. So, you know, and who are you to say they're bad? Come on now. At some point, you got to stand back. Okay, some of these people are just fucking hardened felons, and there's nothing you're not going to, unless you do what? What are you going to do? You're going to brainwash them? Is that ethical? You know, do you want to take away their right to free choice when all their choices are, you know, pretty much evil? So you just, you know, do you lock them up? What do you do? Well, we don't have the space to lock them up. So you run into this dilemma where you want to do the right thing, and sometimes there is no right thing to do. Sometimes you have to choose the shitty thing to do. But you can't just use that as a blanket statement to go rolling all over the world bombing the fuck out of people. It's a real razor wire, man. I'm glad I'm not in government. I'm really not, because I'm sure I wouldn't be there for very long. So although, you know, I think George W. makes a lot of really bad calls, and I think he's doing some pretty nasty shit, you know, sometimes you look at politicians and you say, man, you know, maybe he's got information I don't. So, you know, no matter what you do here, no matter what side of the fence you're on, because I know everybody listens to the program. I get people who agree with me about, you know, the death penalty, people who disagree with me about the death penalty. Okay, make up your own mind. But I think what we got to do is somehow, you know, come up with some sort of common ground where we can just agree to disagree. And that's really the beauties of the internet, is that it enables communication and enables us to be accountable for our own information, so that we can do just that. So, moving on to the opinion. I was listening to Coast to Coast the other night. Everyone knows I listen to Coast to Coast. If you don't, I listen to Coast to Coast. I try to catch it just about every other night. I usually check to see if there's a guest on there. Because, you know, it's pretty fringe. They got a lot of UFO people out there. Which, incidentally, that UFO thing, I could probably do a whole show just on UFOs. But I'm starting to get a little bit wigged out about this UFO thing. They're getting some really scary stuff happening out there. Anybody else out there think there's something going on with that? Give me an email. Newsreel@ranradio.com. Some of this UFO stuff, I'm not talking about, I got abducted and they touched me in my ass. I'm not talking about that crowd. I'm talking about, you know, there's like the chief of defense staff, there's some astronauts and shit, like some pretty heady people out there who are down with the whole, yeah, we've made alien contact. And I think that if that's true, I mean, it's pretty fantastic to say something like that. But where we live in an era where, you know, the government can fabricate a lie like the 9/11 crash and, you know, seem to pull it off, then is anything really, you know, too far gone? Now, I firmly believe that 9/11 was a lie. Okay, I believe that to right down to my very core. It just feels wrong. It looks wrong. You follow the money. There's too much bullshit going on here. The Pentagon alone. I don't want to talk about the towers, but there's something wrong with the Pentagon strike. There's something fucking wrong there. And, of course, I was feeling kind of crazy about the whole thing. You know, you try to talk to people, they look at you like you got a toaster on your head. I didn't say shit about that when I was in New York. You can bank on that. Why? Because I was scared. I'm scared to open my mouth in New York. I'm a foreigner. You know, I'm not going to go into New York and start talking shit. What are you, crazy? Those people will kill me. So I was beginning, just when I thought that I was beginning to go, you know, well, maybe I'm just on crack here. Maybe, you know, maybe I was wrong. And then, you know, Popular Mechanics. Everyone saw Popular Mechanics. Cover of Popular Mechanics this month says that, you know, it's debunking the 9/11 lies. And then they had the editor-in-chief, you know, or the senior research editor there for Popular Mechanics, a guy named Benjamin Chertoff, was, you know, on Coast to Coast. He's talking about how he's debunking all this shit. And he's got all these NSA guys, you know, giving them facts and figures about how the 9/11 attacks couldn't have been faked. And all these conspiracy theorists are just crackheads, blah, 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 blah. Well, it turns out, I find out later that the research editor for Popular Mechanics magazine, the guy who was in charge of this, guy who was on the show, Benjamin Chertoff, is fucking cousins with Michael Chertoff, who's the new head of the Department of Homeland Security. Wow. Isn't that very Saddam Hussein-ish? You know, let's just have nepotism spread throughout our entire government so we got key families running America. Isn't that just a great idea? Now we're getting into the Alex Jones realm where we're talking about, you know, bloodlines and Illuminati and shit like that. Now, you can't have, no matter what you say or do here, you can't deny the fact that these two people are cousins and that they probably, you know, they go over and have dinner together and they talk about shit, so it's probably not an unbiased, at the very least, it's not an unbiased investigation. So before you throw up your hands in the air and say, wow, you know, because if you're like me and you're thinking, wow, I thought I was crazy. I was looking at all this stuff and then, you know, Popular Mechanics said it wasn't bullshit, and we all like Popular Mechanics, right? We all like Popular Mechanics. They got the cool tech in there, right, Ryan? Well, it seems that their cousins and they're dirty. It looks like Popular Mechanics, that particular article, it doesn't ask any of the hard questions. If they really want to debunk this stuff, great. Let's get the really hard-edged, you know, conspiracy theorists, quote-unquote, the guys, you know, with the doctorates in physics and people who are heads of different, you know, research and development firms from major, major manufacturing companies who've looked at the physics behind this and went, no, this is fucked. Let's get them all on a huge public panel on television, and we'll do like a televised, you know, debate. We'll just put the whole thing up there. I think we should do that with the whole, you know, Nazi Germany thing too. The Jews and all that. You know, they say the Holocaust didn't happen. No problem, crazy white person. No problem. Ernst Zundel, you want to claim the Holocaust didn't happen? Let's see your data. What do you got? You know, you want to lay it out here? Let's put it on. Let's throw it up there. What better way to never forget than to just, you know, talk about it? We'll put it on TV. Let America, North America, the world make up their mind. Let's see your data. Let's confirm your data. Let's check some of it. Because there is the truth. Somewhere out there in the internet and online, there is, in fact, the truth. There is a truth of whether or not, you know, the Holocaust was faked. Okay. I personally don't happen to believe the Holocaust is fake because I'd like to know where all the teeth came from. You know, those big chowder chests full of people's teeth and shit like that, you know, and mass graves, and they got those ovens and everything. So it's pretty convincing that there was a whole bunch of people that got, you know, horribly mutilated, murdered, and gassed, and skinned, and shit like that. If you haven't done any investigation on what actually happened in Nazi Germany, which is scary because a lot of young people, probably a lot of people out there don't know about Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen. They don't know who Joseph Mengele was. They don't know who any of these people were. And this is why it's our responsibility as, you know, for those of us who do know, to tell everybody else about the Second World War so that we don't wind up repeating that bullshit, because it seems to me that since the Bush family assisted the Nazis in the Second World War and they've been tied with the Nazis right the way up, maybe they're trying to learn from, quote-unquote, the most productive time in human history. Which is true, Nazi Germany. They took this country that was completely shit-kicked and brought it to supreme power. You know, and what better way to bring about a fascist state than to run your country so far down into the ground that they'll just accept whatever the hell you give them. You know, because everyone's starving and, you know, there's this massive, you know, depression and recession. Well, so we'll just bring out a fascist state and then it's America Uber Alles. This is the fear. And it seems to me like maybe that's not as far-fetched as some might think. But, you know, call me wrong, but let's put it all on a nice big webcast so that everyone, we can, you know, out all the information and check some of it for ourselves. Getting into the news, there's a new web law coming down. A Democrat, Patrick Leahy, has introduced new federal anti-phishing bill that imposes jail terms for up to 5 years and fines for up to $250,000 for criminals creating fake websites designed to con consumers into giving them their personal information. Interesting. Some phishers can be prosecuted under wire fraud or identity theft status, but often these prosecutions take place only after someone has been defrauded. That leaves plenty of time for them to cover their tracks. Traditional wire fraud identity theft statutes are not sufficient to respond to phishing, said Leahy in a statement regarding the Anti-Phishing Act of 2005. Neither phishing nor farming always fit neatly into traditional wire fraud and identity theft statutes, said Leahy in explaining why the new legislation was necessary. We need to act aggressively to keep them from eroding the public's trust in online commerce and communication. Well, I'd say that's probably a good law. Because, you know, if people are out there ripping people off, we're not into that. We do have to stop the criminals. Hackers are not criminals. Hackers are people who like tech. So at least he didn't call fishers hackers. At least they're, you know, starting to get that down. I appreciate that. You know, we'll thank God for small mercies. Now, in Britain, as we all know, that's a really nice Gattaca state they got on the go over there. And they're lining up. They already got licenses for their televisions. That's how they publish, you know, the BBC and stuff like that. And that can be argued whether or not that's a good thing, because there's a lot of good programming coming out of England. You can't deny that. The BBC has some really nice programming. You know, Doctor Who came out of there. Gotta like that. So it seems that they're lining up for computer licenses now, though, which is something I have a bit of a problem with. The BBC license fee should be replaced by a tax on the ownership of personal computer instead of a television, ministers said yesterday. Tessa Jowell told the BBC that the license fee would be retrained for at least another 10 years until 2017 in return for the abolishing of the Board of Governors. But the Culture Secretary, conceded that technological advances would mean that a fee based on television ownership could become redundant. More than 6 million households have access to high-speed broadband connections, and the BBC has begun experimenting with broadcast video clips over the internet. Oh, but a lot of people don't just watch the BBC over the internet, guy. A legal loophole highlighted by the communications regulation Ofcom means that viewers could watch television and listen to the radio over the internet and mobile devices for free, potentially costing the BBC millions of pounds in licensing fees. But it didn't cost you anything, you just didn't make it. There's a big difference there. It's not like the BBC's paying that money, they just didn't make that money. I fucking hate that. The Department for Culture, Media and Sports, green paper setting out the BBC's long-term future, proposed a solution that could end the traditional fee. The paper suggested either a compulsory levy on all households or even ownership of PCs as well as TVs, so the technology might render itself difficult to collect and enforce the fee. Now, what we have here is they're going to say, hey, we're going to get rid of the TV license, and everyone will go, hooray! But what they don't see is that they're going to wind up adding that they didn't actually get rid of anything, they just shifted the little pieces around, and they wind up paying more. Because if you have a TV, well, you know, we'll keep this around to 2017, but to replace that, we're going to institute now, you know, a fee on computers. Well, then you didn't really lose anything, and you're just trying to make more money off the peasants. Just sort of a thought there, something you might want to consider. And in Texas, they're talking about banning wireless. Very, very scary stuff. Will Reed envisions a mouse in every house and a computer, that is, and a high-speed internet connections for all. A wired community says is an empowered one. Sounds good to me. Wired, empowered, looks good. You know, everyone's talking, got a lot of information floating around. Freedom, that kind of thing. From his nonprofit group's East End offices, Reed is turning his vision into a reality. Although Pekin Park neighborhood residents may not realize it, email, pictures, and commerce now zip above their tree-lined streets. High-speed wireless internet access is free for the taking. Everyone likes free stuff. Reed's organization, Technology for All, has pioneered this program to bridge the digital divide with help from Rice University and enthusiastic Mayor Bill White, who has asked the city librarians to join the effort. Wow, city libraries to join the effort. Sounds great. Free access to information, everyone's wireless, kids can hook on for free, get educated, that's great! Fantastic! Yeah, there's some threats because, you know, pornography and stuff like that, but the kids are going to find that anyway, and so you may as well, you know, just by, you know, active parenting, maybe you'd be able to prevent that by just talking straight to your kids and encouraging them to go forwards with their own education, and, you know, maybe they'd want to learn about Mecha and stuff like that. You show kids Robotech, they're going to want to learn about robots. There's nothing really magical about that. This small wired neighborhood may eventually become a model for providing everyone in the city free or low-cost internet access. Or not. Representative Phil King of R. Weatherford has filed a massive telecommunications bill in Austin this session that, in part, bans Texas cities from participating in wireless information networks. Check that shit out. I'm not really pleased, Reed said. As it currently stands, the bill eliminates competition, innovation, and a huge research opportunity. Well, no kidding. Several telecommunications companies, which provide both dial-up internet access as well as faster broadband connections through cable and DSL lines, says they were not involved in writing the bill. That is not to say they disagree with the wireless provision. SBC Communications, which has more DSL customers in the nation than any other provider, said cities should be allowed to offer wireless internet access in public areas, such as parks and libraries, but they should not directly compete with the private enterprises by providing services at residences and businesses, company spokesman Gene Acuna. If they do, then we'd have some real concerns, he says. Yeah, because you're part of a private corporation, and we're talking about, you know, making information free for people, and corporations, as we all know, are sociopathic, and by their very model, they, in order to exist in the current corporate market, they have to be sociopathic. So, you know, obviously they're going to oppose this, like, no duh. You know, the tiger doesn't want to be put out to sea. I mean, this is just kind of, it's within their nature that, of course, they're going to oppose it. Because if everyone's got free internet access, they're not going to make any money. But there are things more important in the world than money. Now, normally I don't do stories like this, but I have to do this particular one because I just like to know what the fuck is going on in France. Now, people come to me and they talk to me about my opposition to the death penalty and stuff like that. Apparently, there's a town in western France known for its medieval castle and Contenu liquor is now a new, more sordid reputation. It's the home of a pedophilia ring where parents allegedly raped, abused, and pimped children and even babies. 66 people. Now, this is only who they caught, you got to bear in mind. 66 people who were caught have gone to trial this week, but some residents still apparently refuse to accept that such crimes could be perpetrated in their midst. Okay, that's dangerous when they won't even admit that, no, that didn't happen. Yeah, it does happen. I've heard people say to me, but you know, these children were used to it. It's the horror of horrors, says Deputy Mayor Michael Moreau. Now, for, you know, oh yeah, they were used to being raped and you know, mutilated and sexually exploited. You know, the kids were used to it, so it's not that big of a deal. What? The trial's second day, Friday, was devoted to presenting more than 200 witnesses to the court. The trial is expected to last 4 months, but getting over the horror could take far longer in Angers. It is an ordeal. Moreau, who oversees the policing for City Hall, said in an interview with the Associated Press. Investigators say 45 children aged 6 months to 14 years were abused by their parents or people close to them from 1999 to 2002, and in some cases in exchange for small amounts of money, food, cigarettes, and alcohol. Holy shit. It's the main difficulty for these children because the aggressor is close to them. It's their parents, their grandparents, their uncles, their cousins. So it's very difficult because they find themselves in a loyalty struggle, said defense attorney Miriam Baba-Rossier. If they talk, they accuse their mother and father, they will have to go to prison and won't see them again. Yeah, I mean, the hideousness there is like on multiple levels. The case, coming on the heels of another high-profile pedophilia trial in northern France last year, has prompted a renewed soul-searching about how people could sink so low in a country that prides itself as an economic and political leader in Europe. Now then, there's a few things you got to know right off the top here. First of all, okay, with this much, you know, with this size of a case, there's got to be some truth to it, all right? It's not like there's a very little chance that all of these people were wrongly accused, okay? We're talking about, hey, huge. And you're dealing with this kind of numbers, there's probably a shitload more than 66 people involved, but they're just the people they caught. So chances are, you know, this is massive, massive, you know, 66 people, you know, and they're saying that it only happened from 1999 to 2002. What, did they all just move there at that time, or was it going on longer than that? So it's probably their timings are off as well. So we've got greater numbers and further timings, you know what I mean? So you look at this situation here and you go, how in the fuck is this possible? How did that happen? Did that happen because of relative morality? You know, did that happen because there's no religion in France? Did that happen over there because, is it because, you know, they're sick? Well, how did this possibly occur? You know, how? You know, you marvel at something. Well, they were abused themselves. Well, who gives a shit? We all had shitty childhoods, okay? I know lots of people who've been abused physically, sexually, mentally. And one of the big things they do is they swear up and down that they're not going to do it again. They're not going to do that to their kids. You know, so you look at something like this and you wonder, how do you prevent this from happening again? I don't think you can cure pedophilia, you know, so I'd look at something like this and go, right, I'll be outside with the gun. You know, when they're pronounced guilty, you just send them out to me and I'll shoot them. What if they're innocent? Well, you know, I don't know. I guess you got to look at the risk versus reward on a situation like this. I mean, France has got to respond to this with a heavy, heavy hand. Pedophilia is a disgusting it's universally, well, I'd like to think it's universally, you know, despised, but apparently it's not. I mean, that's pretty apparent. I don't know, man. I don't know. Me personally, yeah, I'm thinking about shooting people. In other news, so much for art. Legislation that would allow people to automatically skip over objectionable content movies viewed at home sailed through a key House subcommittee on Thursday, and it looks like to be on a fast track. Now, I reported on this before. This is the thing where you can enable people to, like, delete, you know, swearing and stuff like that, all those offensive, naughty bits in movies and whatnot, which, of course, alters the movie. So this alters copyright and alters the original view of what the filmmaker wanted to make. Try to watch Requiem for a Dream through one of these things. The House Judiciary Committee, subcommittees on courts, the Internet, and intellectual property passed S167/HR357, known as the Family Entertainment and Copyright Act of 2005, with little debate. The full Senate passed its identical bill on a voice vote on February 1. The legislation would essentially affirm the legality of software such as ClearPlay, which automatically edits supposedly objectionable scenes out of popular movie titles. Several DVD players now come with ClearPlay enabled and work with more than 1,000 movie titles. Some Hollywood directors and studios have complained that such filtering violates copyright by altering their works without permission. However, this bill is sanctioned in the practice. So, I mean, you know, who cares? Right, they're just saying, well, you know, it's got naughty bits, so we're just going to get rid of it. Well, I suppose, I mean, it does gives people the right to choose, but that seems like it could be a bit of a slippery slope. We'll have to watch that. Just as the author of the book should not be able to force someone to read that book in any particular manner or order, a studio director should not be able to force parents or their children to watch a movie in a particular way. That's an interesting angle, said bill sponsor and subcommittee chairman Lamar Smith from Texas. Now, an author, you know, shouldn't be able to force people to read a book a certain way. Well, yeah, but if you're broadcasting a film, it's a little different. Like, you're comparing apples and oranges. You know, books and movies are very, very, very different. So I don't know how I feel about this. I'll let you make up your own mind. Smith said the goal is to get the bill to the White House for signing before the Supreme Court decides the big Grokster case. In the controversial case, entertainment interests have challenged lower court decisions ruling that Grokster, Morpheus, and other peer-to-peer services cannot be held liable because, like a video cassette recorder, they make copyright violations possible but can be used for legitimate purposes, which is completely legit. So there's something to be said there. If you got to ban that, I guess we're going to have to ban everything. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Who knows? Who knows? And, of course, now we've got another method to try to track people through the internet, tracking by clock. Anonymous internet access is now a thing of the past. A doctoral student at the University of California has conclusively fingerprinted computer hardware remotely, allowing it to be tracked wherever it is on the internet. Now, this has got to be something we got to be able to get by. In a paper on his research, primary author and PhD student Tayadoshi Kono said, there is a number of powerful techniques for remote operating fingerprinting. That is, remotely determining an operating systems of devices on the internet. We pushed this idea further and introduced the notion of remote physical device fingerprinting without the fingerprinted devices' known cooperation. This is kind of scary. The potential applications for Kono's technique are impressive. For example, tracking with some probability a physical device as it connects to the internet from different access points, counting the number of devices behind NAT even when the device uses a constant or random IP identifications, remotely probing a block of addresses to determine if the addresses correspond to virtual hosts, for example, as part of a virtual HoneyNet or anonymizing network traces. Wow, anonymized network traces. So means like anonymizer could be gotten past. So NAT, network address translation, is a protocol commonly used to make it appear as if machines behind a firewall all retain the same IP address on a public internet. So this is something that is interesting. I mean, you may want to look into this. I'm sure there's a way we can get by this. Maybe there's a way to block it. And if anyone knows of ways to block this thing, I'd like to know about it because I'd like to out that over Newsreel. Because surely there's got to be a way we can do this. Surely there's a way we can make sure that we can at least hold on to our privacy a little bit longer. He created it. We got to uncreate it. So you know what? The Flying Monkey Army, I spring you into action. Let's see what we can come up with. And I've got even more bullying to report to you from across the pond. Yes, in the United Kingdom, the music industry has claimed victory in its first battle with illegal file sharers after 23 people paid £50,000 to settle out of court. So actually, there was no battle. They just bullied them and made them settle out of court. So there was never really a battle there. So nice try, but apparently no. The UK internet users, ranging from a student to local counselor, have admitted putting up to 9,000 songs, each for other fans, to download. The settlement shows we can and we will enforce the law, said British Phonographic Industry, BPI, said. This is what they said. You know, we will enforce the law. Well, you didn't actually enforce it because you haven't had a legal ruling yet. The BPI has launched a second wave of cases pursuing 31 more file sharers. Now, I don't know what the deal is in England, but I know that over here in North America, not too many people have gone to court over this. And there's ways around this, so don't be bullied. I don't think they should have paid. BPI General Counselor Jeff Taylor said, "We are determined to find people who illegally distribute music, whichever peer-to-peer network they use, to make them compensate the artists and labels they are stealing from." Well, actually, they're promoting. And they probably bought the album to begin with, and they're sharing it, which is a little different from stealing, which you never hear a lot about sharing anymore. That's not really encouraged anymore, is it? No, I guess not. From the first wave, 17 men, 6 women, aged between 22 and 58, have signed high court undertakings admitting they illegally shared files and promised not to do it again, the BPI said. The average compensation was about $2,200 each, and with one person paying $4,500. So it's like, you know what, give us this money, it gets to go away. So these people just wanted it to go away. 15 of the 23 used Kazaa peer-to-peer network, 4 used iMesh, 2 used Grokster, and 1 used WinMix. The other one was BearShare. So, you got to look at that and go, well, I guess, you know, they're being bullied, they're getting pushed around, so, you know, we'll pay them off and we'll just make them go away because people are afraid to fight. And, you know, they could wind up going to jail for music, for listening to music. Doesn't anyone else here think this is kind of, you know, can we just get past this here? Obviously, where did they steal? What did they take? In order to take something, you must remove it. They didn't remove anything. They're sharing things. This is insanity. I can't understand this. And furthermore, who the fuck is Grace Note? Anybody else hear about these guys? If you're one of 10 million people who's purchased an Apple iPod, then you've almost got certainly loaded up with songs from your favorite CDs. And as a result, rest assured that Grace Note Incorporated knows about it. What, you say? Grace Note Incorporated knows almost any time a CD is ripped for use on portable music player. Apple, Creative, and Rio use Gracenote services. Interesting. As do hundreds of software products devoted to playing and recording music CDs. Yet after few consumers know much about Gracenote, I didn't even know they existed. The company quietly provides an efficient and important service to digital music users. There's a common misconception that text-based information like song title, length of play, artist name, and all that is contained on music CDs. That's rarely the case. Instead, when a CD is loaded into a computer CD tray, software such as Apple's iTunes automatically calls out across the internet looking for help to identify the music. The questions are posed to Grace Note's CDDB, or CD database. By recording patterns in the data that are included on the CD, such as the length of each individual track, Grace Note figures out what album it is, then transmits the data, including music genre, composer's name, language, year released, and more, back to the user's computer. Today's Grace Note can recognize 3.5 million CDs, and it works so well, most music lovers don't even know it's there. It's very anonymous, they say. That near anonymity raises some concern among privacy advocates. With the booming popularity of Apple's iPod and its imitators, Grace Note is accumulating massive amounts of data about consumers' listening habits. But some are wondering if the company and the various music players manufactured and software makers have done enough to inform consumers that that information on their musical tastes heads to Emeryville, California. And, that's where their company's based, and it all goes there from all over the world. The user has the immediate benefit, but the potential trade-offs are very unclear, said Alessio Acquisisti, an expert on economics and privacy at Carnegie Mellon University. This is a problem for us on the internet. It's very difficult to assign a value to our data, and there's a future cost which is still uncertain. Under these conditions, we often opt for immediate gratification. Well, there's an easy fix for this. We install Linux on our iPod, which I covered yesterday, and we get past the entire fucking deal. Sounds like a plan to me. I am so rapidly, you know, I really do believe that switching to Linux very rapidly is not just going to become like a, you know, some sort of a political choice or something to do with whether or not you want to be considered elite or if you want to, you know, save a couple of bucks and worried about getting busted. I think it's going to become a necessity very soon because all these, standard, Microsoft and other applications that aren't open source, all the private applications, seem to be all getting together and selling us out to corporations. So you have a choice. You can either buy corporate software or open source software, and it's starting to me to look like more and more and more, the more I learn about open source software, the more I like it. Even though I don't know how to use it yet, but you know what? I'm quite certain, as I do this broadcast, that all I'd have to do is ask one question at the end of Newsreel, Sean's Linux questions, and I'd be able to figure that shit out. Now, don't send me a whole slew of email reference, you know, do it, because I always get the penguin Nazis on me the minute I start talking about switching to Linux. But, you know, if I was to start going that way, boy, would I ever become a zealot. I'd be like, ooh, total world domination. I pledge allegiance to Penguin. Website terrorism. Now, a British terrorist suspect could face the death penalty or imprisonment in Guantanamo Bay if he's extradited to the U.S., his lawyer said yesterday. Now, check this out. U.S. authorities want to try Babar Ahmed, who's 30, from Tooting in southwest London, for allegedly running websites and sending emails to raise money for the fighting in Chechnya and Afghanistan. Okay, so the guy, whether or not you agree with him, what he's doing is he's raising money, like, legally, right? He's just trying to raise funds for these groups that nobody likes. But he's not doing anything illegal as such. He's just trying to raise money for these groups that nobody likes, sort of like white power groups or whatever. So does he deserve to go to jail for that? That's the question. I don't think he does. The extradition hearing at Bow Street Magistrates Court, Central London, was adjourned to give U.S. government lawyers more time to assess whether there was a risk that he could be put into military detention where he could face the death penalty. Thomas Laughlin, a U.S. civil rights lawyer and expert witness for the defense, said that there was no stipulation in the extradition treaty that Mr. Ahmed had to be tried in a civilian court as to where he would be detained. John Hardy, for the U.S. government, did not concede that transfer to a military jurisdiction would be necessary would necessarily amount to denial of fair trial, but accepted the defense's argument that if Mr. Ahmed was transferred to military jurisdiction, there would be no apparent bar to the death penalty or transfer to a third state. I am against civilians of any nature being tried in military court, because military court is to decide military matters. This is fucking nuts. To have someone who's in Britain extradited to a U.S. military court? What the fuck? The unprecedented nature of the case meant he needed more time to consult on the issues. Senior District Judge Timothy Workman ordered a remand and review hearing on March 24th with the full extradition case to continue on April 18th. This is something I'd like to watch because, I mean, I know the U.S. is turning into an 800-pound gorilla that's, you know, just going around the world, and now we're legally taking people out. I mean, yeah, what about the ethics here? I mean, is anyone even thinking about the ethics involved with this? And, of course, to go with that, we've got to make sure we protect the children, so now there's legislation to bring up a website blacklist. They're really not letting this go. They're really trying to censor the internet. The Utah governor is deciding whether or not to sign a bill that would require internet providers to block websites deemed pornographic and could also target email providers and search engines. Now, first of all, you have to give me a definition of what pornography is, because, you know, that just goes from there. I mean, well, how long before they start cutting off access to gaming sites? Late Wednesday night, the Utah Senate approved controversial legislation that would create an official list of websites with publicly available material found to be harmful to minors. Well, that could be any. My show could be considered harmful to minors, I swear. Internet providers in Utah must offer their customers a way to disable access to sites or on the list or face felony charges. So if a child jumps on the web, gets past the internet provider's, steps and looks at, you know, I don't know, somethingawful.com or something like that, and they could face felony charges. A spokesman for newly elected Republican governor Jim Huntsman said his aides would need to review the final versions. We have until March 22nd to figure out what to do, spokesman Tammy Kikuchi said on Thursday. Technology companies have opposed the bill and saying it is constitutionally suspect and is worded so vaguely that the full impact is still unclear. Now, that's fantastic. Any kind of a vague bill that starts banning websites. Oh, I love it. That's just beautiful. You know, you couldn't ask for something better. And you know the Christian Coalition is going to get behind this. I'd be shocked if the governor did not sign this bill, said Markham Erickson, director of the federal policy for lobbying group Net Coalition. But I'm quite certain there will be a constitutional challenge. Net Coalition members include Google, Yahoo, News.com, publisher CNET Networks. Supporters of the Utah bill, such as advocacy group Citizens Against Pornography. No, we're not Christian at all. No Christian backing here at all. Had pressed for the measures as a way to give parents more control over their home internet connections. Well, fuck it. You know what? We don't talk straight to our kids, so let's just ban everything. Opponents, though, worry that the legislation could go far beyond just broadband and dial-up providers. Does this cover only major internet providers, or are they talking about local coffee shops that offer Wi-Fi? Ask Kate Dean, manager of the U.S. Internet Service Provider Association in Washington, D.C. So, you know, it's pretty much unenforceable. Yet they're trying and time again to bring about laws that are going to completely fuck over our access. And our access, what they're trying to do with this, you know, whole, you know, protect the children is they're trying to limit our access to information. Can you not see this? It's pretty apparent. And newsflash, you know, as I've been going off ever since this fucking war started, newsflash, war fucks up soldiers. Whoa, every war or major military conflicts produces characteristics, injuries, or a wound that eventually becomes that conflict's signature wound. Now, I did not know about this. World War II was associated with increased radiation-induced cancer from atomic bombs, while the Vietnam War led to a better understanding and increased in occurrence of post-traumatic stress disorder and the physical effects of exposure to Agent Orange, which, of course, was, you know, another corporate invasion into war, and it turned into, you know, disfiguring all kinds of people, and the Agent Orange scandal is still going on. According to a report in The Scotsman, the war in Iraq will be no different in producing a signature wound. Only this time, the wound is in the brains of those affected. Medical experts are witnessing an emerging and alarming increase in a disorder known as TBI, or traumatic brain injury. In other words, the Iraq war could produce a generation of brain-damaged ex-soldiers. Whoa! Who fucking knew? The soldiers are far better equipped in the 21st century to protect their lives from injuries caused by bullets and bombs. But in so doing, the very soldiers who are surviving extreme bomb blasts are now displaying symptoms of brain damage caused by the brain-shaking event that occurs at the time of a nearby blast. Yeah. According to the National Institute of Neurological Disorders, symptoms of TBI can be mild, moderate, or severe, depending on the extent of damage to the brain. Approximately half of severely head-injured patients will need surgery to remove or repair ruptured blood vessels or bruised brain tissue. Disabilities resulting from TBI depend on the injury's severity, location, and age and general health of the individual. So this is all concussive injuries to the brain. Some common disabilities include problems with thinking, memory, reasoning, sensory processing, sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell, expression and understanding, depression, anxiety, personality changes, aggression, so-called acting out, and social inappropriateness. Well, soldiers have been socially inappropriate since time began. Nobody loves a soldier till the enemy's at the gate. More serious head injuries may result in stupor, coma, and vegetative states. Once again, war is bad. Please, you know, keep up. You know, what did you think was going to happen? This is why I hate it when they start trying to, you know, make war look like it's almost desirable. It's kind of fun. It's not fun. It's shitty and horrible. And that's why you need to have consummate professionals doing it, not recruiting some kid off the back of the bus, throwing an M16 in his hand and dropping him into the fucking meat grinder because all he's going to do is get himself dead or fucked up or worse. Or he's going to come back home with a head full of snakes and take it out on his neighbors. Kumbaya. You have to have a draft will not work. A draft will not work. You have to think about the long-term effects of these things, and no one is. Makes me nuts. And, of course, anyone know about Bush's secrecy blanket? If this son of a bitch doesn't have enough stuff going for him, check this out. The Bush administration is aggressively wielding a rarely used executive power known as the state secrets privilege. I didn't even know about this. In an attempt to squash hard-hitting court challenges to its anti-terrorism campaign. Great. No, we can't talk about that. It's secret. How the White House is using this privilege, not a law, but a series of legal precedents built on national security, disturbs some civil libertarians and open government advocates because of its sweeping power. Judges almost never challenge the government's assertion of this privilege, and it can be fatal to a plaintiff's case. Sorry, secret, you're fucked. The government is invoking the privilege in an attempt to wipe out the heart of a lawsuit that seeks to examine rendition, the secretive and controversial practice of sending terror suspects to foreign countries where they might be tortured. Interesting. use of the secrets privilege could also eliminate a suit by former FBI contract linguist who charges that the Bureau bungled translations of terrorism intelligence before and after September 11th in tax. So the translator's like, no, that's not what happened. You guys are fucking this up. You're just saying it translated and it didn't. Interesting. The Bush administration is also using the secrets privilege to seek dismissal of a third case not related directly to terrorism. And the administration has invoked the privilege in less sweeping ways on several other occasions. Sorry, secret, we can't talk about that. Great. Wonderful. The use of the state secrets privilege, critics say, is part of President Bush's forceful expansion of presidential secrecy, including a more restrictive approach to releasing documents under the Freedom of Information Act, limitations on the dissemination of presidential papers, and curtailment of information on individuals rounded up in the war on terrorism. Wouldn't want anyone getting the list of people going to camps. Now, why wouldn't he want this made public? Okay? There's only very few reasons. Transparency in government is important. We need to have that. And this guy's trying to take it all away. Does anyone else see this? Hello? Hello? Maybe somebody should get that guy out of office. Just a thought. Just a thought. And to help you in information, today's Daily Hack, brought to you by Ricky Rocket, is on data mining the NSA. This is, I believe it's a German site, an inquiry into the strategies, methods, and actors of the Biometrics Consortium, an NSA-led incubator project in the field of biometrics. First results are online. More will be published subsequently. So follow this up. This is a great link, and it'll give you a lot of inside information on what the National Security Agency is doing with biometrics. Knowledge is power. Arm yourself. And that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive and stay free in this crazy, fucked up world. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of people who know what it is to fight for freedom. And those people are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forleet, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host, Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Diremude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, Jason, and the new subscribers this month were Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve again, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, Mark, and I want to give a big special thanks to those people who contributed some news stories, some hard net runners. We got Speaker, Desert Runner, Astrofix, Sylvanus, Polysci, Ricky Rocket, Foulwear, Psychofish, No Delete, Soab, Valerian, Druid Y, Simaru, K-Tog, Noog, Lensman, and Wyandi. And digital baptism today, Arcane Surge is now known as GIF. Check the Fiend Folio, man, and you'll find out where that came from. And that's to everyone who sent in all the email. Thank you so much. I'm trying to get through it and get back to you to show that I have got your email. Loving it. We're getting great news. We are winning this world. This world. We're winning the war for the world and for freedoms for all. If you get any information that you want to share with me, please email it to Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL @rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Fuss Pills, Fusspils 11. And the album's called Electro Polizei. Very, very cool. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Your construction smells of corruption. I manipulate to recreate this air to go around saga. Gotta launder my karma. Karma, 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 karma.
You're getting down on your motherfucking knees and sound for your fingers again. You're coming.
maxim, two hemispheres, battling. I'm blown, so the maxim, two hemispheres, battling. Suck it up.